This episode is proudly sponsored by my amazing patrons. For the multi-tier, a heartfelt thank you to Ted and C, St. Peaches, Earl B, Christina N, Bunkers, Carlos C, and our newest multi-patron, Ian. In the Tao tier, I extend a massive appreciation to Vitamin A, Jordan, Roman, Philip, Mona, Luna, Diwatahan, Brizo, and our latest Tao patron, Undead. Thank you all so much for your unwavering support. It truly means a lot to me. To you, my dear listeners, if you would like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/tabitabipod. For as little as $2 or $6, you can enjoy early access to episodes, exclusive content, and more. Once again, that's patreon.com/tabitabipod. See you there. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi. Thanks for joining me today. Another week, another new episode. Hi and hello. Thanks for being here and I hope you enjoy your stay. Before we begin today's episode, I just want to take a moment to remind everyone to drink water. It has been very hot recently, so please hydrate yourself and make sure you're drinking plenty of water throughout the day. On another note, I would like to put a disclaimer on today's episode. Today's episode contains mature content that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised as we will be discussing topics that include graphic details. Please ensure you're in a suitable environment to listen to this content. With that being said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Pregnancy is usually filled with excitement and happy expectations, but it can also carry a heavy sadness for some. Losing a pregnancy, whether it's through miscarriage or stillbirth, plunges many moms and families into deep grief. They mourn the dreams and the future that won't be realized with the baby they loved, never got to bring home. Losing a parent and their newborn during childbirth is incredibly heartbreaking. Everyone affected faces an overwhelming grief that mourns the life that was lost and the new life that had barely begun. This kind of loss deepens the sorrow as they grieve not only for the present, but also for what could have been. There's no changing the heartbreaking fact that the mother and baby died during childbirth. It could never come back. But imagine this twist. What if they come back from the dead seeking revenge on those they felt wronged by, those who played part in the circumstances leading to their tragic end? A good example of this kind of creepy tale is the Chanak. It is said to be a child or an aborted fetus that comes back seeking either warmth from a mother or revenge. It targets either its mother, blaming her for its fate, or unsuspecting people in the woods, whom it then attacks. I actually did an episode on the Chanak, and if you are interested, it's episode 7. Check it out on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. However, in today's episode, I'm going to talk about a different creature. A little bit the same as the Chanak, but one that's centered on themes of motherhood and loss. We're talking about the Manchanak. And it's got a couple of spellings you might come across. Number one, it could be spelled as M-A-N-T-I-Y-A-N-A-K. Or it could either be spelled as M-A-N-T-I-A-N-A-K. This creature is known in different regions and each depiction tells a different story. The Manchanak varies widely across different communities in Mindanao. For instance, the Tagkaulo Kalagan people view the Manchanak as the spirit of unborn children, and it's sometimes also referred to as Busaw. But wait, who are these Tagkaulo Kalagan? These groups were originally parts of the broader ethnic Kalagan community. However, with the arrival of Islam in the 1500s, the group split into two, the Tagkaulo Kalagan and the Tagkaolo Kalagan. Today, they primarily reside in Sarangani Province and Davao del Sur. Moving forward, according to the Tagkaulo Kalagan, the Mantianak is this dreadful entity that roams the forest, crying out, Ina, which means mother, and preying on humans. In this depiction, the Tagkaulo Kalagan's version of Mantianak is similarly described as the Tianak because it also takes the form of a baby or a fetus. Like the Tianak, it uses crying to attract people before it attacks them. One thing to note about this creature, though, is I'm not entirely sure whether during these attacks, it just kills people or actually feeds on them. Also, I'm not sure if this creature goes after groups or prefers to ambush solo travelers, but either way, it attacks people. Now, for the Bagobo, who are one of the largest subgroups of Manobo and divided into three groups, the Tagabawa, the Klata or Giyangan, and the Uvu, also spelled as Uvu or Ubo, have a slightly different take on the Mantianak. In Bagobo lore, if a woman dies during what seems to be her birthing period, her spirit becomes furious, particularly blaming her husband for the conditions that led to her death. This vengeful spirit transforms into a Mantianak, floating near her old home and making sounds like a cat's mew. This version of the Mantianak is particularly nasty, described with a hole in the breast, long claws, and known locally as a bad thing. It's said that the Mantianak mostly goes after men and boys, but is usually afraid of women and girls. Now, I don't think it's always fair to blame the husband for the death of a woman during childbirth. I see it as more of a specific situation. If the husband really contributed to her death, that's when the legend of the Mantianak could come into play. For instance, if the husband was causing stress or was abusive, leading to stillbirth or the death of the woman. It's important to clarify that not every tragic incident like this is the man's fault because many different factors can lead to such outcomes. But in the scenario we are talking about, let's say it was the husband's fault. In that case, according to the myth, the woman might come back as a Mantianak to seek revenge on her husband. Now, the spirit of the woman has transformed into a Mantianak, right? And she returns to her old home. Why? Because she wants to enact revenge on her husband whom she blames for her demise. There, she tricks her husband by mimicking the sound of a cat. Now imagine you are the husband and you do not know about this legend. You do not know that your wife who had died transformed into Mantianak. You'd probably get curious, step outside to check out the noise, and well, she might just have a field day with you. But if the husband is aware of this legend, if he has a little bit of idea that when the woman dies and they are blaming the husband, she might transform into a Mantianak, he might have an idea that the one mewing outside his house could probably be his deceased wife transformed into a Mantianak, and he probably won't go out, thus saving himself from tragedy. Now, in other regions of Mindanao, the Mantianak takes a more terrifying descriptions. Why? Because they are described as a flying head targeting men's private parts. Now, the previous descriptions I've said earlier, One is just like the Tiana, kind of like a baby attacking random travelers in the night. And from the Bagobo, they just transforms into a Mantianak and goes back to the house. It doesn't necessarily give you an exact description on whether or not this creature transforms into an animal or not. So I am assuming that it retains its usual human-like self, only grotesque and much scarier. However, for this other description, for the third description, basically, it is described as a flying head. Just a head. And Mythlook also mentions that the Mantianak, in this description, the flying head, goes after men, attacking their genitals until they bleed out and die. So, for my male listeners, be careful out there. Now, this version is a bit different from the Bagobo tale, where the Mantianak sounds like a cat. You see, the Mantianak in this version hums a lullaby late at night or in the early hours. If everything's quiet and you suddenly hear a lullaby, that might just be a Mantianak nearby. If you start hearing these lullabies at home, it is a sign for men to keep it down and avoid drawing attention, because remember, the Mantianak is particularly after men, not women. So basically, women are safe. Now, for any guy who really wants to stay under the radar, an odd yet effective trick is to wear a woman's skirt around the house. It seems to confuse the Mantianak, making her think the man is a woman. It's a simple trick, but surprisingly effective at keeping her off your trail. And reading that information made me think. Actually, it brings up a good point about how the Mantianak attacks someone inside a house in this version, okay? Because I was thinking, does she break through a window or door, or does she use her eerie lullabies to draw men outside before making her move? And I am leaning towards the latter, because it seems unlikely for a creature to just burst in, I think. Remember, in this version, she is just a head. So I don't think the head has enough strength to burst through the door. Or she probably does, knowing that the door back then wasn't really that firm or something. So it could be plausible, but I still think they don't. I think it's more plausible that she plays on the curiosity of men who might be naive enough to step outside when they hear a woman humming a lullaby. Also, adding on to my question, I think this version, I will refer to this one as the third version of the Mantianak, okay? I think this third version, her rage isn't directed at a specific person. It's more about her anger towards men in general. So, any man, not just her husband, could be a target. I'm not sure if she goes after only adult men or if young boys are at risk too, but I think she wants to attack men in general because she hates them. Now, the last information I can present about the Mantianak came from the Philippine Spirit Study. If you're not familiar, Philippine Spirits is actually a really, really great source of information when it comes to Philippine creatures. So please visit their websites for more stories about Philippine creatures. I will include it in the description. Also, side note, they actually released their very first book, so you might want to check it out as well. Now, going back, in the Philippine Spirit Study, one version from Mindanao described the Mantianak as a wraith, or a soulless entity with a bloated belly. It is described with a gruesome detail of a slit or hole where her unborn child can be seen. So, just imagine encountering this creature with its belly open and her baby is still inside. Now, I will call this one the fourth description, okay? This fourth description seems to harbor a deep resentment towards her condition or her demise. The same with the Bagobo version or the second description. She blames men for her untimely death, but it's not just the husband. So I feel like it's similar with the third version of this Mantianak, where she just hates or blames all men for her untimely death, convinced that she wouldn't have died if she hadn't been made pregnant by a man. So all men, she hates all men. She takes this anger out on any man she encounters at night, attacking them and causing fatal injuries. This fourth version, for me, really ups the ante because it still has a baby inside when it goes on the attack. I mean, it made me think, does it somehow use the baby as a weapon? Is the baby part of the attack plan? And how on earth does the baby stay put when the Mantianak is on the rampage? I've got a bunch of questions about this, but no answers yet, so I'll leave that question up to you guys. What do you think? So, to recap everything, we have the first version of the Mantianak from the Katagkaulo Kalagan, which is in a form of a baby that attacks people, not necessarily men, but just random people. For the Bagobo, the Mantianak is described as a creature with a hole in the breast, long claws, and I think it retains its usual human-like self. For the third version, we have a creature that is only a head that attacks men's genitals specifically until they bleed to death. And for the fourth version, this version of the Mantianak has a slit on its belly and the baby is peeking inside, which is definitely dreadful and horrendous looking, but they also attack men because they blame men because they got pregnant. And yeah, that's about it. That is it for today's episode about the Mantianak. So, to all the gentlemen listening, please be safe. Keep your legs closed, lest you find yourself facing the wrath of the Mantianak. Stay safe, stay curious, and until next time. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or become a Patreon member and get cool benefits, just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Or you can always donate via GCash. The information will be posted in the description. Thank you to you, my patrons, and to you, my dear listeners. Thanks for continuously supporting the podcast. Please stay safe and drink water. You are amazing, and I am thankful you exist. Once again, this has been Ethan, and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!